First Kings chapter 18. In your Schofield Bible, page 413. First Kings chapter 18. We'll be reading one verse only. That's verse 24. We'll turn to two other passages, each just one verse only. And I'll direct you to those passages later. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm just such a man of prayer. Let's stand, please. Okay, the 24th verse, let's read it together, please. Ready? And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Turn a few pages over to chapter 22, page 418. And we'll read verse 3. We'll read that together. Ready? And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Now to the book of Psalms, the 78th Psalm, page 637. Psalm 78 and verse 41. Page 637 in your Schofield Bible. Let's read that, please. Ready? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And let's pray. Father, here we are again. We feel like you must think this is just your favorite place on all the earth. You look down upon us with much favor. But we're your people, and there are a lot of us here tonight, and so we are in need once again of your blessing and of your help, your power and your presence with us. But we thank thee that even while this service goes on, there are many services around the world, many such services. And we thank you for our preacher boys and those who minister in labor, both far and near. And so we thank you that this place, of course, represents a great outpouring of your gospel, not only here, but in so many other places. Bless tonight the service here and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me, before I pray, acquaint you with three passages of Scripture. The first deals with a king named Jehoshaphat, a king of the southern kingdom called Judah, and a king named Ahab, the wicked henpecked king of the vile husband of the vile wife Jezebel. The two kingdoms were divided. There was a place called Ramoth in Gilead, a very advantageous place, especially in wartime. It was a little bit like the Alsace-Lorraine situation. But Ramoth in Gilead was a coveted place. The Syrians would attack Israel and often would win the battles, and they would take over Ramoth in Gilead. It was a lofty, high place, a good place for spying and so forth. And then Israel would take over Ramoth in Gilead in the next battle, and then it would bounce back from one to the other. Now, for 3 years, Syria had Ramoth in Gilead, and this northern kingdom and southern kingdom were divided. Ahab and Jehoshaphat, the king of the north and the king of the south, got together. And the king of the north, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat and his servants, he said, you know, we're not strong enough to take Ramoth and Gilead ourselves, and you're not strong enough to take it by yourself. But if we got together, and the two of the kingdoms got together and battled against Syria, we could take Ramoth and Gilead. And a statement that he made is a powerful statement. He said, what? Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not.
It's ours. Ramoth in Gilead doesn't belong to Syria. It belongs to Israel. And here we sit with Ramoth in Gilead. It's ours. And we're strong enough to take it. And we be still and take it not. The second passage I'd like to acquaint you with quickly before I pray is this. Elijah was on Mount Carmel having the contest over who was the real God. And of course you know how they put the offering on the altar. And Elijah stepped up and he said to the people, whichever God answers with fire, let that God be God, or let him be God. That statement is a powerful statement, just like the one I mentioned a while ago. What? Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not? Likewise, this powerful statement, let God be God. Boy, I love that statement. Let God be God. Let God be God. The third statement I call to your attention tonight that I'm going to use in a little testimony kind of a sermon is the one where the psalmist wrote these words. It said, we have limited the Lord God, or the Holy One of Israel. We have limited, they have limited the Holy One of Israel. Around those three statements, those verses tonight, I'm going to bring my message, for each of those had a tremendously important impact on my life at a certain time in my life. I pastored three great churches in my ministry. I pastored five churches. First was a little country church at my little college church where I drove every weekend, just way up in the country. And then one church I pastored in Henderson, Texas for a time, a good church. But I pastored three great churches, the Grange Hall Baptist Church, outside of Marshall, Texas, the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, and the Great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I want you to listen to me tonight as I give you a little testimony sermon and acquaint you with what's available to you if you would like to have it. Father, bless me as I speak tonight. Speak to the hearts of the people and lift our hopes and encourage our spirits because we're here. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. I used to wonder why God put me on the scene. I never have been an intellectual. I certainly am not a great orator. And I certainly am not an imposing figure to look at. I have not been asked recently to pose for Mr. America. I've wondered why not. But I'm not the kind of fellow that you think would pastor America's largest church. I used to wonder why God put me on the scene. And then one day it dawned on me, God needed some preacher that was within the reach of everybody. For example, did you ever hear anybody preach like R.G. Lee? Well, of course not. Nobody could copy R.G. Lee. You haven't ever heard anybody teach the Bible like John Rice because nobody could teach the Bible like John Rice. You've never seen another Lee Robertson around the country because nobody could be like Lee Robertson. But you've got little Jack Houses all over this country bothering people, warting folks to death, and splitting churches all over this country. Now, the reason is because God needed some young preacher years ago and somebody who was reared in the home of an alcoholic and somebody who was reared in poverty and somebody who was not naturally gifted to let people know that what God has is for everybody. Several special passages have been responsible for my ministry and this great work. I was stuck in East Texas, way up in the country, northeast Texas, little church with 19 members. And as you've heard me say it again and again, only one lady could play the piano, and she played one song, and that was Old Rugged Cross. We had 19 people, had a potbelly wood stove right in the middle of the building in this house, and I'd go up and build a fire every Sunday morning early and chase the yellow jackets out of the wood stove. And we only had one member of the one family of the church had a telephone. The guy was deaf and couldn't hear it ring. And the Beverly Hillbillies were the highest class people we had. It was just a few miles outside Dog Patch where little Abner lived. And we were stuck up there. And I wondered if God knew where I was, as you heard me say often again and again and again. And then I went later on to the Grange Hall Baptist Church. And for an entire year, I had nobody walk the aisle for salvation. I mean, nobody. I mean, I won folks to Christ out in soul winning, but never had anybody walk the aisle for salvation. And then one day, I came across 1 Kings 22:3. Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not. Now, during that year, before I came across this passage, I heard about the great churches in America. And in the past, I heard about the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, at that time the largest church in America, averaging over 3,000 in Sunday school, which in those days was an unbelievable number for a Baptist church to have in attendance. I heard about the great Temple Baptist Church in Detroit that was about the same size and later on grew to over 5,000 attendants, the largest church in America at the time, and Dr. G.B. Vick. And I heard about the Akron Baptist Temple that was running thousands in Akron, and Spurgeon's Tabernacle and the old days when Moody Church was running thousands, 4,000 or so, in the days of Dwight Moody and later on the days of H.A. Ironside. But it never dawned on me that might be available to me. Sure, I mean, Dr. Robertson, somebody special. Maybe if I had the manner of a Lee Robertson or the person of a Lee Robertson or the brain of a John Rice or the power and expertise of a G.B. Vick. But it never dawned on me the slightest time at all that was available to me. I heard about Dwight Moody and how he was walking down Wall Street one day trying to raise some money for his evangelistic crusades. All of a sudden, two ladies in his church had been praying for him. And they said, Mr. Moody, we're praying that something will happen to you and it will transform your life. They were talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Mr. Moody said, don't pray for me. Pray for sinners. I'm having 5 to 10 people saved every time I preach. And then one day, walking down Wall Street, he was smitten by the Holy Ghost to the sidewalk, asked God to withhold his power to get alone with God, barred the bedroom of a friend, and there he wrestled with God, and something happened to Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody said the sermons he used to preach and had 5 to 10 saved. He preaches those same sermons, and now he had 50 to 100 saved. And when he used to have 25 saved, now he has 250 people saved. His life was changed. Now, don't you Howells Anderson guys get out of here and go to the P-Patch tomorrow and come back to college tomorrow morning and say, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to announce it, folks. They'll find out about it. But I read about that. And I read about Christmas Evans, who said he was thrown from his horse because the power of God had smitten him, and there his life was transformed. Heard about Savonarola, who went to the pulpit and sat for 5 hours, refusing to preach till the power of God came on him. 5 hours he sat on the platform and refused to stand up, and the people waited for him, and finally the power of God came. I read about that. And John Wesley, who prayed with about 60 other preachers till 4 o'clock one morning, and then for the first time in his life, the power of God came upon his preaching. And then Charles G. Finney and his great power. And on and on. I read those books about those men. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. But it never dawned on me that little Jackie Boy Hiles from the ghettos of Southwest Dallas could have this available for him. It just never dawned on me. I read E.M. Bounds' book on prayer. R.A. Torrey's book on prayer. John Rice's book on prayer. I read about about Praying Hyde, the life story of Praying Hyde, and others. And I thought, boy, that's wonderful. But I'm a little East Texas preacher. I didn't say that was available or not available. I just never thought about it being available for me. What about the great soul winners, the soul winning of great men? I admired them. And then one day, ladies and gentlemen, at the Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas, my life was transformed by this little verse. What? Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not? It dawned on me all of a sudden that building a great church could be for me. It dawned on me all of a sudden that answered prayer could be for me. It dawned on me all of a sudden that the power of God could be for me. What a wonderful, wonderful day in my life where I realized you didn't have to be a person like Lee Robertson or a brain like John Rice, or didn't have to be a great man like Dwight Moody, or a great man of leadership like G.B. Vick. Bless God, I found in Joel chapter 2 where the power of God was for handmaidens, it was for servants, it was for young men, it was for old men. In fact, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, that's flesh right there. And I'm about to have a spell. It dawned on me all of a sudden that these wonderful promises that these great men claim, the Bible was as much for me as it was for them. Philippians 4:13 was written to me as much as it was to Dwight Moody. Philippians 4:19 was written for me as much as it was for Billy Sunday. And Matthew 6:33 and Jeremiah 33:3, all of those were for me as much as for the great men, Charles G. Finney and Jonathan Edwards. Bless God, let me tell you tonight, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And my life was transformed. But this one verse, what? Know ye that reigneth and get it is ours, and we be still, and take it not? What? Know ye not that the power of the Holy Ghost is mine, and I be still, and take it not? What? Know ye that the answers to prayer, miraculous answers to prayer, are mine, and I be still, and take it not? What? Know ye not that building a great church is mine, and I be still, and take it not? And that literally transformed my ministry, and the Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas, became a beehive of soul-winning activity. Shortly thereafter, I was called to pastor the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. 44 people showed up the first Sunday. And I labored. Really did. I labored. And then one day I came across 1 Kings 18:24. I can't say this statement without getting excited. I mean, if the doctor took my blood pressure right now, I'd have to have some pills, I'll tell you for sure, to bring it down. I read this passage about Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal, and I love that. I love it because he killed 800 liberal preachers. I love that. Boy, if God had let me do that. But anyway, if I killed him, I'd do it in Christian love. And by the way, it would express my love to America to get rid of these pussyfooters, in case you'd like to know it. Now, but Elijah built this altar, and he put this sacrifice on the altar. And he's, okay, big boys, let's see whose God is really God. And so he made this statement. He said, let God be God. Man, what a statement. Let God be God. Now, that transformed my life at the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I decided to let God be God. I remember the first time I saw it. Let God be God. Let God be God. God looks down tonight and says, let me be God. My hands are tied. I'm bound. I'm in fetters because my people will not let me be God. For God has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell them that Christ died. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked and what if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than His? What if our feet are leading where sin's illumin is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid Him and hasten His return? God looks down tonight and says, I'd be God if you'd let me, but you've got my hands tied. You've got me in fetters. Let God be God. Listen, let God do what God can do. But God cannot do what He can do till we let Him do what He can do. My ministry was transformed. God is saying, let me do what I can do. Let me save souls. Let me answer prayer. God is saying, let me do great things. Let me be what I can be. Let me give what I can give. Let me fill you. Let me use you. Let me. All of a sudden it dawned on me, I am standing in the way of omnipotence. God's looking for somebody who'll let Him be God. And that thing tore me up. And you know, God got a hold of that Miller Road Baptist Church on our first anniversary. We had from 44 to 618. On our second anniversary, 1180. No buses, never ran a bus. Didn't think about buses in those days. On our third anniversary, first anniversary, 618. Second anniversary, 1180. Third anniversary, 2212. Fourth anniversary, 3163, I mean without a single bus. Because a little kid preacher said, I'll let God be God. God wants to use you tonight. You preacher boys from Hiles Anderson College, He wants to use you tonight. If you'll just let Him be God, God wants somebody to pray through the night hours. God wants somebody to hang on to the horns of the altar. God wants somebody to believe that book. God wants somebody to let God be God. And tonight I say, let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. And that verse transformed my life at Miller Road Baptist Church. God cannot act as God without me. He made it that way. Then the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And as you know, we had problems when I came. And then one day, about 3 years after we came, I came across a new passage of Scripture. I'd read it time and time again. I'd read the Bible through many times, but never had jumped out. Psalm 78:41. They have limited the Holy One of Israel. They have limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, people say, well, dear God, send revival. God's begging to send somebody. They're begging to send revival if somebody pays the price for revival. God, oh God, I plead. You haven't got to beg God to save souls. He sent His Son to save souls. God's looking for somebody to pay the price. God wants to be God. And yet the truth is, the average church is limiting the Holy One of Israel. The average preacher is limiting the Holy One of Israel. The average Christian is limiting the Holy One of Israel tonight. Unbind God and let God be God. That's what he's saying here. I realized that I have weakened omnipotence. I realized that I have dulled omniscience. I realized that I have timed infinity. I realize that I've limited deity. I realize that I've bound omnipresence. I realize that I've quenched the irresistible. Oh, my, listen to those three statements. Preacher boy, get them and squeeze them for the rest of your life. What? Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not? Let God be God. They have limited the Holy One of Israel. And then the statement I'm going to give you right now hit me. I had never heard it. It hit me. And this statement, the title of my sermon, God is just as great a God as we'll let Him be. God is just as great a God as we make Him. And Christ is just as great a Savior. Some of you have a greater God than others because you have not limited the Holy One of Israel. And some of you have a greater God than others because you let God be God. And some of you have a greater God than others because you have realized that Ramoth and Gilead is yours, and prayer, answered prayer is yours, and the power of the Holy Spirit is yours, and the ability to serve God is yours, and we be still and take it not. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is no respecter of persons. What's available for Dwight Moody? Hey, this Bible wasn't just written to Dwight Moody. It was written to you. Every promise in the book is yours. And when I thought of that statement again, the ceiling lifted. The lid blew off. When I was a young preacher, I used to turn to Joel 2:28-29. And it says that the young men shall see visions. Talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And young men. I used to get on my knees and say, Lord, there it is right there. You said young men. Yeah, I know John Rice is old and he's still, but you said young men. I've got as much a right to Joel 2:28-29 as you have, as John Rice has. Oh, I know. Lee Robertson's an old man, and I'm a young man. I used to put my hand on that scripture and said, young men shall see visions. But I've changed it now. I've gone to the last part. The old men shall dream dreams. Bless God, I got news for you, Brother John. Wake up, son, it's time to pray. I've got news for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The power of God is as much for a 72-year-old man as it was for a 28-year-old man. I don't care who you are. Every promise in the book is yours. Claim it. Reigneth and get it is yours, and you be still and take it not. Let God be God. Quit limiting the Holy One of Israel. That means that Philippians 2:5 is for me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Just as much as it was for Dwight Moody. That means Matthew 28:19, all power is given unto me. It's just as much for you as it was for this Sunday. That means that Philippians 4:13 is just as much for me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, as it was for Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Listen, we have a Catholic Baptist doctrine. You sit there and pray, oh God, fill our preacher with the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit's power is for laymen as much as it is for preachers. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That means secretary flesh. That means plumber flesh. That means carpenter flesh. That means doctor flesh. That means lawyer flesh. That means factory worker flesh on all flesh. And let me tell you something. We'll never know the mighty power of God that we ought to know until we realize that the power of God is for everybody. There's no such thing as the Catholics would say. The priest will read the Bible. He'll tell you what it says, though he doesn't. But then they say, come and confess your sin to the priest. Listen, he's got all the sins he can care for himself to confess to God. But we have the same mentality. You see, they say that sin confession is the priest. We say that the power of the Holy Spirit is for the pulpit only. No, it's for the pew as much as the pulpit. All flesh, it says. I have the same access to God that praying Hyde had. I have the same access to the power of God that John Wesley had. I have the same access to Bible knowledge that John Rice had. I have the same access to soul winning that David Livingston had. Jeremiah 33:3 is much for me as it was for them. Ephesians 5:18 concerning the fullness of the Holy Spirit is as much for me as it was for them. Now wait a minute carefully. Here's what I want you to get across tonight. As I said a while ago, mine is not a double standard Bible. God's promises are not limited to preachers. They're for you. I want to happen to you tonight what happened to me when I came across what? Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead desires, and will you still? You sit there tonight with everything in the Bible available and never claim it. Dr. Rice used to say he had a dream. He dreamed he went to heaven. Listen to me over here, boys. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Dr. Rice had a dream. He went to heaven. And he saw a bunch of packages, all gift wrapped up there, thousands and thousands of them. Walked up to God and said, dear God, what are all these packages? And God said, they're things I had wrapped for my people they never called for. They never claimed them. And God has so many things that you've never claimed. Let me tell you, you Howells Anderson College preacher boys, that Bible is as much for you as it was for John R. Rice. And let me tell you, you laymen, the Bible is much for you. I mean, you say tonight, I have a right to every promise in the Bible. God didn't give some promises to preachers and some to lay people. I have a right to it. And I'm going to rise up and claim it. It's rightly mine. And then you say tonight, I'm going to let God be God in my life. And then you say tonight, I'm not going to limit the Holy One of Israel. God's promises are not limited to preachers. They're for postmen and plumbers and professors. God's promises are for mechanics and merchants and mill workers. God's promises are for barbers and bakers and butlers. God's promises are for carpenters and carriers and cleaners. God's promises are for servicemen and secretaries and seamstresses. God's promises are for sailors and soldiers and stock clerks. God's promises are for teachers and teamsters and telemarketers. God's promises are for maids and mailmen and maitre d's. God's promises are for clerks and clerics and custodians. God's promises are for waiters and waitresses and watchmen. God's promises are for electricians, entrepreneurs, and engineers. God's promises are for bankers and beauticians and bricklayers. God's promises are for firemen and farmers and factory workers. God's promises are for policemen and peddlers and professionals. God's promises are for doctors and dentists and druggists. God's promises are for lawyers and lawn keepers and loggers. God's promises are for truck drivers and trainmen and teamsters. God's promises are for nurses and night watchmen and navigators. God's promises are for pilots and politicians and planners. God's promises are for landscapers and lawnmowers and land movers. God's promises are for osteopaths, optometrists, and opticians. It's for you. Prayer power is for you. Soul winning is for you. Holy Spirit power is for you. All of God's promises are for you. I'm a little tired of these dispensationalists that break down the Bible into parts and say this promise was for the Jews and this promise was for the Old Testament and this promise was dispensation of law. And God calls them to get lockjaw. It was Vance Havner who said, he says, as a new Christian, I started claiming this promise. And somebody walked up and said, that's not for you, that's for the Jews. So I claimed this promise over here, and somebody said, that's not for you, that's for another dispensation. Vance Havner said, good night, I was getting answers on those promises for years before I found out they weren't for me. It's for you. Lay people, ladies, it's for you. Let me give you two examples. Old stories. I got a letter one day from a lady in Michigan. She said, my name is Ruth Elaine Bartels. My husband was a pastor. He passed away recently. I believe in you, Brother Hiles, and I'd like to come to your church and just pray for you the rest of my life. Give me a little spot where I can be alone and talk with God, and I promise you I'll never preach a sermon, never speak a word of a sermon without me being on my face and praying for you. Ruth Elaine Bartels came to Hammond. I gave her a little room, a little apartment place we made for her. And Mrs. Bartels gave her life in prayer. For all those years, I think about 12 years, every time I stood and preached anywhere in America, she was on her face praying for me. Ruth Elaine Bartels had as much power in prayers praying I did. She was a woman, a layperson, if you please. But she discovered that the Bible was for her as much as it was for anybody. Second illustration, Leon Dillard. Old story. Leon Dillard, I had a little church in Texas. I mentioned it a while ago, Miller Road Baptist Church. We'd grown in the first few months to about 100 people. Little building without a choir. Block walls, not this kind, but old Arkansas tile walls. Ceiling just had two guys up there. Didn't even have any drywall or sheetrock on the ceiling. One night, a lady named Mrs. Dillard said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to ask Leon, my alcoholic husband, big old guy, about 5 foot five around him, about 5 foot tall, big guy. Used to go to bars and just walk in and clean the bar out. He's a big guy. Was a tremendous fighter. Mean as the devil. Mrs. Dillard said, Leon, I want you to go to church with me tonight. Leon started cussing. He said, no, sir, no way I'm going to go to church tonight. I don't want to hear one of those preachers. She said, if you don't go to church tonight with me, I'm going to divorce you tomorrow morning. Okay, I'll go to save our marriage. We had about 100 people. Didn't have pews. We had individual folding chairs. About 100 of them set up. Leon Dillard sat over here about the fifth row from the front in a folding chair. I preached that night on the funeral of the old man. The funeral of the old man. Invitation time came, and Leon Dillard got under conviction. He didn't walk the aisle. He just cleaned out those chairs in front of him and came the shortest line to me. He walked to the altar. I said, Leon, you want to get saved tonight? He said, don't know what this getting saved business is, but I want to bury the old man. And that night, Leon Dillard got saved. He's the one that when I read his name, he'd put two pints of whiskey in the car. He told his wife, I'm going to drink them when I get out of church. After I hear that preacher, I'm going to drink those two pints of whiskey. Or two quarts. Pints. Anyhow. Fifth. Yeah. So, how'd you guys know so much about that? Well, I noticed a while ago while you were singing, you were a little bit active, you know, waving your hands around. Leon Dillard, I read his name. He's standing at the altar, about 75 to 100 people out there. Leon turned around me and big old guy, hey, Reverend, what do I do now? I said, Leon, you get baptized. He said, okay, I'll do that. You got the water tank filled? Yeah. He said, then what am I supposed to do? I said, you join the church. He said, then what? I said, you start giving a tenth of your income to God. He looked up and he said, Reverend, I don't know what a tenth is. I got two fists out in the car. I'll let him have. Leon Dillard discovered one night the power of the Holy Spirit was for everybody. He came to my office and we sat there and went through verse after verse after verse about the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, Pastor, is that just for preachers? I said, no. He said, is it for carpenter? He was a carpenter and a contractor. Is it for contractor or carpenter? I said, yeah. I showed him Joel 2:28-29. All flesh. Get it. All flesh. Leon Dillard began to pay the price. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit. The greatest personal soul winner I've ever met was Leon Dillard. He brought more people down the aisle per year at our church that he won to Christ than any person I've ever pastored in my life. Why? Because Ruth Elaine Bartel realized that God's promises to answered prayer for her. A lady. And Leon Dillard realized that God's promise for the power of the Holy Spirit was for him. A layman. Tonight, I'd like to burn in your heart three scriptures. What? Know ye not that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? And we be still and take it not? What? Know ye not that answer to miraculous answer to prayer are mine? And I be still and take them not? What? Know ye not that winning souls to Christ by the dozens is mine? And I be still and take it not? What? Know ye not that the power of the Holy Ghost is mine? And I be still and take it not? Let me burn in your heart that scripture. What? Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not? That's what Jesus meant when he said, ye have not because ye ask not. Second passage, I want to burn in your breast tonight like a hot iron. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. God wants to be God. And the size of your God is up to you. There are people in this room tonight have a God about like that, and folks have a big God. God is just as big as you make him. His potential will never be reached without people who meet his promises and his conditions. What? Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? And we be still and take it not? Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. They have limited the Holy One of Israel. I decided at the Grange Hall Baptist Church that what was Moody's and Sunday's and Spurgeon's, Savonarola's, Jonathan Edwards, Christmas Evans, David Livingston was available for a little East Texas preacher. It changed my life. I decided as a young man in my 20s at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland that I could let God be God in my life. And I decided when I came to Hammond after 2 or 3 years, I decided not to limit the Holy One of Israel. And then the same statement started burning. And that's the text tonight. Jesus is just as great a Savior as you make him. And God is just as great a God as you make him. So tonight, it's for you, student. I'm not talking about jabbering in some kind of a tongue. I'm not talking about getting something some night you think you got and going to the chapel the next day and bragging on it. I'm sure I was filled with the Holy Spirit for many years before I even knew what it was. I asked Dr. Rice one day, I don't know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit or not. He said, was there ever a time in your life where people started getting saved more than ever before? I said, yeah. I told him about it. I said, I knelt on the grave of my father for about 3 days and begged God to give me something. He said, that was it. I said, Dr. Rice, how did the people in the Bible, how did Peter, for example, know he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Dr. Rice, I'll tell you. He said, start counting the converts. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, 2,500, 2,900, 2,990, 2,999, 2,933,000. He said, yep, boys, this must be it. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, it's mine. Tonight, grab that Bible, look at it, and claim the promises of God. What? Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is yours, and you be still and take it not. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. And do not limit the Holy One of Israel, our Heavenly Father. I wonder what you could do with somebody who really believe what I preached tonight.